This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 29 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on this edition of the Mickey Miles Podcast is half marathoner, soon to be marathoner, Michelle Scribner-McLean. Michelle, I'm guessing that you're a little excited.
You know, I thought this tapering would be fun, but now I'm just, I can't wait to run my first marathon. So I'm really, really excited, and I can't wait. I live in, as you know, New Hampshire, and we got 10 inches of snow, and I just want to be in the warm and run. So I'm very excited. And I have a shout out today, and it's to a special friend of the podcast, and her name is Amanda North. And Amanda is from New York. She's going to be running the Goofy, and she's had a whole bunch of different challenges this year, and I just want to give her a special shout out, and I can't wait to meet her in Orlando.
We thank you for listening, Amanda. So today we are very honored and excited to have two very special guests with us. If you are a fan of Run Disney events, and especially Track Shack events, then you will know the names John and Betsy Hughes. But if you don't, allow me to bring you up to speed. John is the president of Track Shack Events, which produces about 40 events a year. He's been a competitive runner since high school, and John has competed in many marathons, including Boston, Berlin, Chicago, and Marine Corps Marathon. He is one of the youngest inductees into the Florida Track and Field Hall of Fame. He was inducted at the tender age of 29. And in 1999, John was named by Road Race Management as Race Manager of the Year. He has been pioneering and organizing athletic and community events since the late 1970s. Now, John has been recognized for his outstanding leadership and organizational achievements by the Florida Athletics Congress, the Pan American Junior Games, the Governor of Florida, and the Grand Bahamas Promotions Board. He is the co-founder of the Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend and has been its director since 1994. Betsy is a veteran marathoner and has been a runner for 32 years. She's a wealth of information regarding running shoes, running clothing, and injuries. And when it comes to injuries, she's no stranger because she's had 3 foot surgeries during her running career. Betsy is also very active in the running community and teaches that running community about the importance of a healthy, active lifestyle through shoe clinics and customer interaction. Betsy also brings to the table marketing and event management skills. Now, in 2008, John and Betsy were both inducted into the Running Event Hall of Fame, and in 2009, the Running USA Hall of Champions. It goes on, folks. Also in 2009, John became a member of the Running USA Board of Directors. Now, John and Betsy have been full partners in Track Shack since 1983 and have been described as being the heart and soul of Central Florida running. So John and Betsy, to say Michelle and I are honored to have you on the Mickey Miles Podcast would be an understatement. Welcome to the show.
Wow, thanks. You've made it sound pretty good.
Thank you. It's rather embarrassing, actually.
we're also the proud parents of 2 adult children. Our daughter Emma is 26 and will be married 2 months from yesterday, and our son is 22. And both of them have done some half marathons, and our son is, I think, training for his first marathon.
You think? Well, you think you would know that.
Sometimes you're not sure when they're 22.
That's true. Welcome.
We have so many questions that we have for you. We hope that these questions are those which our listeners would love to ask the both of you. So if I may, I would like to ask the first question. And John, this one is directed to you. You've been race director for the Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend since 1994. And over the years, I'm sure that the things that you have to do, the responsibilities have changed. And so I was just wondering if you were to just go over the major responsibilities you have as race director, what would you tell us?
Wow, yes, we are right. First of all, things have changed a lot. In fact, you can just look at the numbers. In 1994, we had 5,400 finishers, actually 5,200 finishers. And this year, the marathon weekend with the 5K, the half marathon, and the full marathon will have the marathon half will have 52,000 people in just the half and the full. So yeah, it's gone tenfold since that 1994 event, and which has been great. I think that speaks well, obviously, just to the sport and to the fact that we're trying all the time to get more and more people into a healthy lifestyle. So as far as the responsibilities, though, well, it was easier back when there was just the marathon. Now that it has become an entire weekend, there's just that much more to deal with regarding staff and logistics. The operational side has really become complex because of the fact that we have to shut the Disney roadways down both on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Friday for the 5K. Not too much on the 5K, but Saturday and Sunday, it's quite a bit of ops work with, the fact that we are going through three parks on Saturday and four parks, of course, on Sunday. So it does take up quite a bit.
Michelle, would you like to, do you have any follow-up questions to that?
I'm curious to know, John, when do you start planning the races? Do you start,
that is a good question.
Do you get a vacation or do you start the day after marathon weekend on the next one?
That's a good question, and for those that are familiar with the Run Disney brand now, I'm sure you're familiar with the fact that it's grown from the marathon weekend. We now have that. We now have the here in Central Florida. We then have the Princess in February. We have the Expedition Everest in May. We have the Tower of Terror in September, and Wine and Dine has now moved to November. And there are two other events, Run Disney, large events now on the West Coast, the Tinkerbell in January and the original Disneyland half in September. So no, there's not a lot of break. And even before we added some of those events, we would take a week break after the marathon, and then we resume our weekly meeting. We have a standing weekly core meeting every Monday for Disney, for the Disney Marathon weekend. And now that's turned into actually expanded to cover other events that are upcoming. So, and that's, you can imagine, that's just one of many, many meetings. Because kind of going back to your first question too, what are the responsibilities? It, besides just the operational impact to going through the theme parks and utilizing the roadways, it touches virtually everything on Disney property. So it's parking, security, transportation, the resorts, again, the theme parks, custodial, areas that people probably don't really think about a lot of times, but that are so vital to making sure that operation works well and what's involved, like the number of buses to transport everybody, just the number of product, whether it's food or sponges or what, out there on the course. So, and that's all just, again, on the operational side. There's a lot, of course, that happens way pre-race with the marketing and public relations team and sales team as well.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, yeah, and registration's huge.
Wow.
Oh.
That's really, it's amazing. It's amazing operation. Betsy, I have a question for you. I'm a teacher, and the first time I met you, the only time I met you is I was at a race and I forgot my band for my IT band that I put around my knee. So I took a journey over to the track shack and you were there and I didn't know you were the owner. I trained teachers and I was very, very impressed by the time that you took with me. And as I said before we started recording, you actually got down on the ground and showed me ways to do stretches and how to roll out my IT band. So I was wondering, I know that at the Track Shack website, you have something called Betsy's Corner, and it seems to me that education is very important to you. And I'm wondering what types of education that you offer runners at the Track Shack.
We do. We
we have a training program for starters for the marathons, the half marathons, the 5K, 10Ks. We have about 800 people in those programs.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I know. We have a full-time director. We have coaches that work for us. And then, of course, we have a lot of volunteer coaches that help us to coordinate 800 people. But we also do monthly running clinics with Good Form Running. We do monthly clinics with some of our partners here locally, physical therapists, different doctors. I go to corporations and do shoe clinics. I teach a class just once a semester at the local nursing hospital just to let the folks that are going into the medical world know how important their feet are, how important shoes are, not just for themselves working, you know, possibly 12 hours at a time, but also with their patients. Feet play a big part in all our lives. I mean, it's what it not only gets us through the marathon, but it gets us through our daily life. And if your feet hurt, everything hurts. And a lot of times with all these injuries that we see, like IT problems, especially after a long run or a long event, if we don't know here at Track Shack how to help those folks, we're not doing our job, because we're not just selling shoes. You know, we're trying to sell a healthy lifestyle. So our goal is to keep everybody on the roads. So it's important that we get on the ground and foam roll with everybody.
And I think that's one of the things. I know we have a very small little running store in southern New Hampshire where I live, and it's called Runner's Alley. And that's one of the reasons I think people like to support the local running stores versus going to some of the bigger places, because you get that attention.
Right.
Yeah.
And right. I've met the owner of Runner's Alley at some of the conferences.
Oh, BJ.
Yeah. Cute as a button.
Yeah. So also, I noticed that you wrote something about the number 13 in your blog. I was wondering if you want to tell us why it's important to you.
Well, 2013 is important for a lot of reasons in our life. John's favorite number has always been 13. So you can imagine our 13th wedding anniversary, how romantic that was, because it was such a big deal for him. Our daughter, as I was saying earlier, is getting married in 2 months, so that's 2013. And 2013 is also the year of the 20th annual Disney Marathon, and it will be on January 13th.
Ooh, that's great. Well, I recommend...
So the only thing we don't want on January 13th is 13-degree weather. Other than that, we're going to be pretty excited.
That's about what it is here today. I have to guess it's going to be better. Well, I recommend that people go and read your blog, because it's really interesting. And we try to repost it on our Facebook page for the podcast.
Oh, thanks.
You know, it's funny, Betsy, you mentioned what you don't want to happen on that weekend, and that sort of transitions right into my next question. And John, I was going to ask you, when you are dealing with so many people doing so many races and a major, major weekend event like what's coming up, what are the things that you worry about the most? If you could say to me, Mike, here are the three things that I worry about the most as we approach marathon weekend, what would those three things be?
We touched on one just now, weather. Right. Weather is a huge, huge concern. As Betsy will tell you, I'm a weather junkie because we do so many events throughout the year. I am constantly looking at the weather. Yeah, I noticed, for example, it's supposed to be like down to 9 degrees in Boston. Why do I know that? It doesn't really matter. I just happen to know that because
so
I like
you feel my
weather.
Pain.
I'm feeling your pain. When you said that, I said, yeah, I saw it. It's supposed to go down like 9 degrees in Boston. So it's like record lows up there right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm always looking at weather, because obviously for an event, and in Florida particularly, it doesn't matter that it's January. It can be, it could be extremely warm. Luckily, we've only had 2 weekends out of 19 years so far. Hopefully it'll be so old for 20 that we've had what I would consider warm or very warm races. And that is the toughest. I'll take the cold anytime. Although, an interesting note on that, we've had a couple of very cold weekends for Florida on the other side of that, one of which happened a couple of years ago. May be aware of it, because we actually kind of set records. It was on a Saturday. We had sleet on Saturday as we were walking off of the start line.
We both ran
that one. All right. And then you'll recall the next day we had super record lows as it cleared, and we were below freezing. And I actually got a call from my start line manager as I was walking them out, and he goes, you know, there's something strange here. And I see he's saying that. I'm looking up into the light as we're walking down through Woodpecker Lane, taking them down to the start. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's snow. So it was very light, and you almost could only see it if you were looking up in the light, because, of course, as soon as it touched the ground, it melted. But what we weren't prepared for, of course, was ice on the course. And we don't have salt like they have up north, so the only thing we do have in Florida is sand. And so we put sand down everywhere, particularly around the aid stations and all, to keep it from hopefully icing over or being too slick. That's very unusual, but it did happen. So weather's a huge thing, any extreme, because, of course, we always get extreme wind and rain here at any time. And we go over and over all of our contingencies plans constantly for weather and other things. We have to look for these days, as, you know, this world has changed, not just weather concerns for security and contingency plans. So we have many meetings about that. And then, so the three things, one would be weather, another is transportation. Disney does transport people probably better than anybody in the world, but the thing is, they're usually not used to trying to get like 27,000 people on Saturday morning within a 45-minute to an hour time frame all to one location, and that's tough for anybody. So transportation is another huge piece of it. Let's see, so transportation, weather... What would be my third? I guess the third would just be that something doesn't work properly, as far as there's a huge miscommunication, or we have a huge drop somewhere with volunteers and something's not done properly on the course. And also, and that could include something medical. So, yeah, medical issues, always a concern, and we have a great medical staff out there. Oh, you know, most of these things are unpredictable, particularly the weather, and obviously if somebody does have a medical issue, but we're pretty well covered. It's for any of those situations, it's always challenging when something does happen medically, and you certainly do your best and hope for the best when something like that does occur. But I'd say those because Betsy's giving me a nod there. See, the medical is a tough one because you get to really feel, you know, for each of these runners, there is a tie. For those of us put on events and you watch people come across the finish line, and particularly those that it's the first time where you can just tell on their face it's been a life changing experience. There's a real bond there, and Betsy and I know I can speak for her and say we both, there are times that it's a bit emotional watching finish. I know I'm going off track now, but I started thinking about that, about the medical, because we have a true concern for every person that's out there.
Oh no, I mean I can understand that, because if in essence you are the caretakers for all of us who are out there, and I can see that connection and. And I can understand it. So, yeah, it's funny because I had a feel. I guessed on two of them. The last one I didn't guess, but I thought that was a great answer, John. So let me see. Let's see. Let me ask you something. You deal with a lot of customers. You deal with a lot of runners. If you could paint a profile that explains the difference between. Those who run in non-Disney events and the Run Disney participants, how would you describe the Run Disney runners?
Happy.
Happy.
That's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah.
They don't always like all our lines at packet pickup and number pickup, but once they get that number, they are ecstatic. And they are just so psyched, ready to run. Even when we tell them, you know, you got to be there at 4:00 in the morning, they know it's Disney. It's okay. They're going to be at the start line of the Disney Marathon, the half or the 5K, and they are so excited. For a lot of people too, it's their very, very first event, and they're nervous, but really, they just have this. Their adrenaline is just racing all the time throughout the expo, on the way to their start line. They're just happy.
That makes me smile just hearing that answer, because there is something about getting that number, that after you get the number, yay! I'm really running this race. Betsy, do you think that these races attract more new runners than other races?
It was a little broken up. I'm not sure what you said.
I was going to say, do you think that Disney races attract new runners more than
absolutely.
Other races? Yeah, I think so too.
Absolutely, yeah. And but Disney events absolutely have tons of new first-timers, or newbies as we call them. And, you can tell that too, because you've got a lot of folks that are maybe doing a half marathon in 3.5 hours and 4 hours sometimes, a lot of walking, which we encourage as long as they can hold that 6-minute pace. It's all about getting to the finish line. But we do have a lot of newbies, and they're scared sometimes. They'll ask a lot of questions, especially when they're picking up their numbers, and they're a little bit anxious, but they're also just so excited.
That's great. I agree. John, I have a question for you. You kind of touched upon this, and I wanted to ask a little bit more. As race director, what sort of things bring you the most satisfaction? It sounds like seeing people's faces as they cross the finish line is one big one.
Yeah, that is huge. That's probably still, I would think that probably trumps everything. Because, and again, I think maybe it sounds corny sometimes, but when you know somebody has, and as Betsy's mentioned, so many first-timers, but when they, they've worked for this, it could be 9 months, 12 months, as you know, too, there's so many stories that can be attached to it, whether it was somebody that's survived a certain disease, whether it's somebody that's running for somebody, whether it's just somebody that realizes, I'm taking control of my life. I need to change. And then they do this, they go through this process, and this is the culmination of all of that. And that's what you can tell hits them, is that all that 9 months, whatever prep, has come to this one moment when they cross the line. And it's, so yeah, that is, I have to say that's still probably the number one satisfaction. The other thing is just when everything is said and done, and I'm not going to be Pollyanna here and think that that we can make every single person happy. We do our best and try, but with, again, 52,000 people, actually 62,000 with the 5K this year, it may not seem or be perfect for every single one, and sometimes that's a person's perception, and sometimes maybe things didn't go as well. Maybe there's some things we could have done better for them, but at the end of the day, when we realize that we have put something, an event on for, 50, 60,000 people, and that a very large majority of those people enjoyed it, had a great time, was safe, and went well, that's a huge feeling, it's a real high. And I know, again, Betsy and I are so proud of our staff and the Disney team. The two teams work very, very well together, and everybody shares in that. It's a great feeling. And there used to be a time where shortly after that there'd be a little bit of a letdown, but we don't have time for that anymore. So we just go right on to the next one. But it always feels good to know that the event went well.
I think that's great. I actually have a follow-up question to that, because I think after I ran the Wine and Dine, I think I turned around and saw you right in the chute after people get their medals and they were getting drinks at the end. And I thought that I saw you asking people about their race. Was that you? Is that one of the ways that you get feedback?
It probably was. I was there quite a bit. And I do like to know how things were. I'm very curious to know what they thought about the entertainment, about how the course went. Was there any issues? It's kind of a real, because it's fresh in their mind, and I nowadays, because of technology, I put it right into my phone when I hear something, and then and I check with staff constantly too. And then we have, as you can imagine, quite a bit of follow-up. Sometimes we actually will send surveys out. We have industrial engineers out there that are checking everything, in fact, logistically as well. But then we also I bet you're thinking something to me, but we also we do very official surveys and all.
Well, I was really impressed. I thought, because I had just seen you the day before, so I thought, I think that's John Hughes. And I was impressed that you were really asking people what they thought. And I'm sure, although you're a very popular guy, I'm sure most of them didn't know who you were. But you had a badge on, and I thought it was great. So as a runner, I appreciate that. Mike?
You know, I had a question along the same line, but, you know, I like to make a comment, John and Betsy, and that is that, you know, it strikes me very much over the years. I've been doing Disney events for a long time. Even like, remember the 10K Classic, John? Remember those? I ran the first race for the Taste, and I think there were only 250 of us there. But anyways,
who would have thought that would have morphed into the wine and dine super half marathon?
Oh, and it was great back then. We had the bands, and I could go up and get salmon after the. It was really
fun. It was not nearly as many people. Yeah.
Well, it strikes me that to both of you, this is a labor of love. And like Michelle said, you know, getting the feedback is important. And Michelle and I ran the inaugural Wine and Dine, and there were some issues with that. But to your credit, you took the bull by the horns and you corrected everything. And there are some times when you don't know what type of issues are going to come up. You don't know what type of problems will come up. And you don't know until it happens, and then, and only then, can you make the correction. So I want to commend you on taking steps to take care of that, because this year was just, I was very impressed on how everything worked. I could not run because of an injury, so I hung around Epcot, and I was amazed as to how quickly the bags were brought to Epcot and everything, and I talked with a lot of volunteers, and it was really, really an education for me. And that does lead to my next question. And that is about how many, what kind of a number in staff do you have, be it volunteers and non-volunteers? Do you have any idea how many people it takes to put on the marathon weekend?
Well, yes, on our side, we will have, as far as full-time staff, we'll have about 12 full-time staff working on it. And most of those people work on it throughout the year, some of them more than others. We actually have one full-time staff member. That is his job. He's a Disney liaison. That's what he does. And then Disney has, as far as their core team, they have probably 20 or so now that touch it pretty much on a regular basis. That doesn't count for both of us. We have a lot of people we bring in throughout the year, and particularly as we get closer, they bring in, of course, the Run Disney team. Some of them do other things. There's Run Disney, Disney Sports, I should say. Disney Sports encompasses a lot of different areas. Some of them will work on the Run Disney totally or solely, but there's others that work on other events and are brought in as we get closer to the event time. But it affects every part of that, from marketing to VIP to public relations, again, security, transportation, and the expo, yes, which is huge. They have two people that oversee that under Run Disney, which is full-time with all the events they have now. Registration, they have a key registration person as we do, and again, those two work, of course, together all the time. So I'd say there's probably 35 or more full-time that work on those Run Disney events. And then it touches, again, every aspect of the property. So literally, if I were ever to send you an email that goes out to the full group, it's I'm not exaggerating when I say it's a couple hundred people that are copied on that for the main Disney meetings. So,
and that doesn't even include the volunteers.
Oh no, that's just the staff. When you get the volunteers, you're talking 5,000 people over the weekend.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So you really depend on them. You couldn't do it. You couldn't do it without them. Yeah.
Greatly. Could not do it. Right. No, he could not do it. I mean, just with the numbers and just the number of people that are necessary for the water stops, for the expo, for packet number pickup, for packet pickup and t-shirt, it's huge. Yeah.
And these are volunteers, non-paid, that actually have team leaders that take time out of their entire year to come out for various meetings to make sure that they're training all the volunteers properly. They just have a great, great core of volunteers.
They're fantastic. They're always smiling, so helpful. I'm just very, very impressed. So, Mike and I did the 5K, the half, and the marathon relay last year, and we were wondering if there's any chance that the marathon relay might come back again. Maybe it disappeared this year because of the 20th anniversary medal. And
you know, I never say never, but I will let you know that logistically, operationally, it is very challenging because of all the roadways that we use and because the events are getting bigger. So I'm not going to say never, but right now I don't see it in the near future.
Okay. And here's another just random question. We noticed that for the expo, for the Princess Half, it's going to be at the Coronado Resort.
Yes,
right. So that's going to be different for people. Is it a smaller venue because it's a smaller race?
No, and actually it's an interesting question because a lot of people may not realize that for several years the Disney Marathon was actually at the Contemporary. It was there for a long time.
And we were
at the Coronado one year for the actual marathon weekend. Coronado, in fact, has expanded even since when we did it for a marathon weekend. Coronado is actually huge. It is the second largest convention area on property. So it's got plenty of space, and it's going to work out better. Part of it was making sure that we could utilize everything we needed to at the sports complex, and it's a very active, very busy time of year. And so just to take any chances, they decided to go to the Coronado Convention Space.
I know some people on our Facebook page were asking about buses there, so I expect there'll be lots of buses for people who are at the resorts to the expo at the Coronado.
Correct. That's what will happen. They'll be bused over, and in fact, for non-resort guests, they will be shuttled. Most of them will be shuttled over to the Coronado.
I have one more question, Mike, that I'm going to slip in here. Do you guys work on the races in California, too, or just the ones in Florida?
No, we do.
Remember when John told you we don't have a lot of breaks? We will finish up with marathon weekend, and then most of our staff will leave probably Tuesday, so one day in between to go out to Tinkerbell.
Wow.
And then John and I will go out later in the week.
We're excited. I know a lot of people are excited about the Dumbo Double Dare, so maybe we'll see.
Are you guys
right
going to be there as well?
I'm going to see if we can
you never
work
know.
It out.
We usually show up at all the inaugural races. We've done the coast to coast.
Last year we did a glutton.
We're gluttons for this kind of stuff. So you never know. You never know.
That's funny.
So I that's all our questions, but what I wanted to do, John and Betsy, is I wanted to give you a chance to speak to all the Run Disney fans out there who are listening to this podcast, and I wanted you to say whatever you want to say, anything you want to like give them encouragement or anything you'd like to say. We're going to give you the forum right now for both of you. Anything?
I would just say, tapering is hard, Michelle, but it's the best thing you can do for your body right now. So don't get too frustrated.
Oh, that's good. See, always the teacher, Betsy. I like that.
That's right.
Thank you.
I have a family of teachers. Yeah. But really, just make sure you pack your bags long before you get on that flight or in the car. Make sure you have everything you need. Nothing new race day, and go with a positive attitude. Don't go out too fast, and have a great time, and we'll see you at the finish line.
Wow, I can't say much more than that. That's very good advice, and there are a lot of races out there, but I would maybe kind of echo something that Betsy has said, and that we can maybe kind of pick up on the theme of this, is that, you know what, enjoy the experience, and just Disney is a little bit different, and, and not to be corny, but there's the Disney magic, and just enjoy this. It may not be the race you want to pick as your fastest race, and in fact, there are a lot of twists and turns through the theme park. So, have a great time. It's a good time to come with friends and family and whatnot, and yes, have a fun, great run, but really enjoy it. It's really one to be enjoyed, and I believe without a doubt it probably has the record for most pictures taken on course of any marathon in the world. So people should just come out and enjoy it.
That's great advice.
Well said. Well, I'm speaking for all our listeners in thanking you both for making all the Run Disney events so enjoyable for runners of all ages, all skill levels, and of course, especially for making the Walt Disney World Marathon weekend. It's in my, and I've been studying this place for 40 years. I there's no doubt that it's the most popular weekend of the entire year, and it's, and you two are very much a reason for that. So we want to thank you. We also want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to visit with us and talk about our favorite topic, and that is Run Disney. So we want to thank you, and Michelle and I are going to be looking for you guys at the expo, and if we see you, we'll come up and say hi. So John and Betsy, thank you very much for being with us today.
Excellent. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Have a great trip down.
And that about wraps it up for this special edition of the Mickey Miles Podcast. For Michelle Scrivener-McLean, and especially for our special guests, John and Betsy Hughes, this is Mike Scopa saying goodbye, and we'll see you on the road.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.
Wherever you may go.
And find